Well, take your Bibles and turn back to the book of Exodus. Exodus, and we come to chapters 5 and 6. Now, don't stress when I say two verses. We'll try to take the Lord's Supper, too, afterwards and all. But beginning at chapter number 5, and let me read that first verse. If you have an old Scofield, it's on 75. Now, if you have another Bible, you may have a different number. But let me read that. And after Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We do pray for so many people going through so many problems at this time, and the flood, and then one coming on again. We just pray that you'll be with people, help them to look to you and look to the Savior, Lord. We do pray as we look into thy word, we pray the Holy Spirit of God would have his will and way with us, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this, the first confrontation, and of course the confrontation between, really, I guess you say Moses and Pharaoh, but really and truly it's between God and Pharaoh. But in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 5, Pharaoh, who is Lord? In chapter 5, verses 4 to 21, Pharaoh, why stop working? And then in chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 27, Moses talking to God, why have you sent me? Now, as we look at this and begin the confrontation with Pharaoh, we must learn as we set out to yield ourselves to God and to accomplish his purpose. He will keep his word, but it is all in his timing. You know, he knows what's best. And that's one thing that we forget. You know, that's like Moses. He forgot about his timing. Remember earlier, he went through the first 40 years of training by man. And, of course, he killed the one Egyptian. He was ahead of God. And now he's been on the other side of the desert for 40 more years. Moses is 80 years old at this time. And now he's hesitant, as we've seen in the last study as well as this one. And as one has said, no great work of God is accomplished without testing. And, of course, it kind of goes along with what we studied in Sunday school that Peter was trying to bring to us. There is testing and trials we go through. And, of course, when we learn that oftentimes God is trying to teach us something. What a message for spiritual leaders, though. People are behind you. And when the persecution, you know, when you begin to have something to do and leading people to the Lord and following the Lord's plan. But what a message here. As you think, once the persecution comes, the people will turn away from Moses. And, of course, it often happens today, too. We must always remember that God will always keep his word in his timing and according to his will. There are many things that he will accomplish in the delivering of these people. But there will be many other things that will be shown. And, of course, one thing is going to be shown at the end of this study, that they'll see that God is the God of all things. He's over not only Israel, but he's over all. He's the creator. Now, let's look at this. We read that first verse. He goes and Aaron goes. They go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses and Aaron obey the Lord and go to Pharaoh, but they did not mention chapter 4, verse 22. If you refuse, I will slay thy firstborn. Now, when he bids that turn there, really and truly, it looks to the end of when they leave, because it takes God taking the firstborn of the Egyptians for them to let him go, as we'll see to get to the end of this study several weeks in the future. God had already told him in chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, that Pharaoh would refuse. And, of course, after chapter 3, verse 20, after God will stretch forth his hand, he will let you go. But this will be later. Now, in verse 3, we'll see as we look at that in a minute or two. In verse 3, he asked for a three-day journey, which really it would be rounded out at a seven-day journey. That would be 3 days traveling out, one day to worship the Lord, and then three more days to come back. Now, notice verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? to let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, here we see Pharaoh. He's an unsaved man, and you know, really and truly, Pharaoh was really treated much like the Roman Caesar. They looked at him as deity, and Pharaoh was looked upon as deity too. And of course, the threat, he was not thinking at all of a God. I'm over all of Egypt. The Jews were slaves to the Egyptians, and why should I obey their God? Pharaoh does not know the Lord, but he will before long, he'll sure know his power. The beginning of the hardening of the heart, as God will force Pharaoh to make a decision that he doesn't really want to make, and of course, he'll be rejecting the will of God, and he will harden his own heart, as it says also that God hardens his heart. But you know, that's what happens to a lot of people. A lot of times people will hear the gospel over and over and over, and they'll say no and no and no. And you know, it comes to the place that they harden their heart to it. And Pharaoh is going to harden his heart against God too. Now, notice verse number 3. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Now, Moses is mentioning here that God is really going to chasten Israel for this very fact. And I guess what you might say, that really he wouldn't have any people to be slaves to him too. Now, notice secondly, Pharaoh, why stop working? Notice verse 4. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye Moses and Aaron let the people from their work get you unto your burden? Now, what he's saying is, get back to work. This is what has been horrible throughout history. When one group looks down upon the other, and of course, they look at them as less human. The only thing Pharaoh is looking at them is just as people to do the work. The word burden expresses the way that Pharaoh looked upon them. Now notice verses 5-9. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burden. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As thereof, let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make, therefore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore, they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. Now, there in verses 5-9, Pharaoh makes the burden even harder. You know, it sounds like if you've ever worked in a plant, he'd make a good boss, wouldn't he? The way he's trying to get the work out of it, and that's really what he's looking at him as. Now, punishing is often the tactic used by one in control to get his will done on these below him. The same thing used in war or in a concentration camp in times of war. Up to this point, the Egyptians would supply straw for the brick. Now they are to get their own straw. And of course, he still wants the same quota of bricks that he has on them before. One has said, now I don't understand this fully, straw with making bricks, but one has said straw would reinforce the brick and keep them from sticking in the form that they used to make them. Now notice the Egyptians' taskmasters were over the Jewish officers. Now notice verses 10 through verse number 19. Bear with me as I read these verses. And the taskmaster of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye get ye straw where you can find it. Yet not aught of you work shall be diminished. In other words, you got to bring the same amount of bricks. So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt, gathering stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, fulfill your work, your daily task, as when there was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, whereof have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today, as therefore? Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto the servants. And they say to us, make bricks, and behold, thy servant are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle. Ye are idle, therefore, ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of brick. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were evil cased. After it was said, you shall not diminish aught ye the brick of the daily task. Now he's telling them, the Jewish people, they must find straw themselves. He's just making it a little harder on them. The people would search the land for stubble. They didn't have straw, but they used the stubble. And this took time for making the bricks, and they fell short of their quota. The Egyptian taskmasters began to beat the Jewish officers for failing to get the quota of bricks. The officers cried out to Pharaoh with no avail. Pharaoh will not lift his command and will not supply the straw. One has said, instead of going to Pharaoh, they should have gone to Moses, and Moses and them go to God in prayer. But notice verse 20 and 21. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put swords in their hands to slay us. Now, as you think of that, the Jewish officers now come against Moses and also Aaron. The Jewish officers blame Moses and Aaron for all the trouble, and they're putting the pressure on the people. You often see this in the military, and of course in the whole group suffering for a few. You know, it's kind of the way they kind of get the word across, by punishing all, although they think that Moses and Aaron are at fault. Moses' request caused all this suffering. This is just the beginning of the suffering and the complaints that will come about God's will and criticizing God's leader. And of course, you see the same thing today sometimes. Now notice, thirdly, Moses, why have you sent me? Now this is Moses going back to the Lord. Look at verse 22 and 23, sounds like last week. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Now, why? You know, you ever do that when you're talking to the Lord? Why? In a sense, Moses is doing the same thing that the Jewish officers are doing. They blamed him, and now he's blaming the Lord. We must say that this Moses, who is now going to the Lord. Now, Moses is pouring out his heart to the Lord, telling him just how he feels. You know, I think that's really what prayer is all about. You know, God's quite capable, and I know in my case, when I pray for the wrong thing, he's quite capable of letting me know that's not his will. But of course, as we look at this, we have found out in my own life the same thing, quite capable of changing our mind. But this is something all leaders need to realize, especially God's. Expect opposition and misunderstanding by others. And you see the same thing as Moses going through that you see in churches. A spiritual leader may often realize the people don't understand as well as you yourself may not understand fully either. Here we must understand the will of God to deliver the people as he has promised, and we often forget about God's timing. Moses is forgetting about what the Lord said. He's already told them that he won't let them go as yet. And a leader must know how to get along with God and to take by faith what God has said. He will do, for he cannot lie. Titus 1:2. The big thing that we forget is God's timing always. Sometimes we know the will of God without doubt, but God's timing is important too. Warren Wiersbe says, a spiritual leader must be bold before the people and broken before the Lord. And of course, that's not only true of leaders, but to all of us. God had made it clear his will and what he will do through Moses. God may have spoken audibly to Moses. He speaks to us through his word. And the important thing for us today to know God's leading us in his will. He uses the word of God and sometimes the circumstances of life and the spirit of God. But as we've always said, it's always in accordance with God's word. He'll never go contrary to his word. We can understand Moses to know what the will of God is, but we must always be yielded to his timing. You know, the commands of the Lord in the Great Commission that is given to us, but we don't always see those coming to Christ as we deal with people. God has other things that he wants to accomplish by delivering the children of Israel. Egypt and the entire world are going to learn that he is the God of gods. Now notice verses 1 through 8. I apologize for all the reading, but I think it brings it true to what we see here. Chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by the name Jehovah was I not known to them, as I have to also establish my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, to the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of the bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment. And I will take to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out of under the burden of Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land concerning the which I did swear to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage of the Lord. Now, God encourages Moses with his word. It will take strong arms of the Lord to persuade Pharaoh to let them go. And of course, I'm sure that we've all studied this, and probably if you were growing up in this church, you saw the stories of Moses. Will be a strong arm. And I am God, and I am the Lord. Now, we don't see this as we don't know the Hebrew, but scholars tell us the word Lord here is El Shaddai, or God Almighty, the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, in verses 2, 6, 7, and 8. And Jehovah, which is a Hebrew name, Yahweh, is his covenant, and he will fully keep his covenant made to his people. And you know, there's a rich study. I remember one fellow, and he was a Bible teacher that went through a message and all the different Hebrew words mentioning about the Lord and bringing out the truth of the meaning of the different aspects of the Lord. And that's really what you see here. He will bring them out of bondage and Egypt, out of bondage of Egypt, and redeem them. And they will be his people, and he will be their God. And God will give his promise, and he'll keep his promise. Now notice verse number 9. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now the weakness of the flesh and worship of God, chapter 4, verse 29 to 31, when they heard God would deliver them, they saw the signs that Moses did. And of course, after the extra burdens that were placed upon them by Pharaoh, they rejected the word of God from Moses. The spirit is willing, but you know, the flesh is weak. The big difference between the spiritual saint and the carnal: God's promise often comes with a cost to his people. That is where the walking by faith and trusting him, and of course, the timing of God. You know, that's the hard one, isn't it? We know God's work and we know God's promise. But you know, that's what these people are going through right now. God's promised he's going to deliver them. But you know, he takes the time here as they grow and learn and draw closer to him too. The reason so few are used by the Lord: their rejection discouraged Moses. And we have got to remember, we too not live and serve the Lord by feelings, but by trusting the promises of God, and of course, don't forget his timing. These people, included Moses, after their rejection, had given up, but God has not given up on his servant Moses. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up? God calls Moses and Aaron to go to before Pharaoh, saying, "Let the children of Israel go." Notice verses 10 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of this land." And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, "Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am I of uncircumcised lips?" And the Lord spake to Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it's surely the heartache of most spiritual leaders. How will the lost believe us? And of course, as we have a mission in the same way. Now in verses 14 to 27, I'm not going to try to read those. You've heard me try to pronounce those names sometimes. And, of course, I'm going to spare you that. But in this, what we see in verses 14 to 27, that we see that as Moses and Aaron was of the tribe of Levite, the third son born to Jacob, and leading to one of God has chosen here, Moses, to accomplish his will in delivering the people from Egypt. Once again, Warren Wiersbe says, "God's calling means God's enabling, and what he begins, he will complete." Aren't you glad that we got a God? He goes in it, and when he promised it, he's going to keep it. Now notice verses 28 through 30. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee." And Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am an uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken to me?" Now God once again renews his command. God's commission But once again, we see Moses' excuses about poor speech, as he did in chapter 4. How we so often, as Moses, look in our weakness and not God's enablement. Once again, I know I mentioned this before. Before we get through with this book, we'll probably mention this verse many times. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling." Now, he's not talking about working for salvation. He's talking about people who were saved. They knew the Lord as their Savior. And what Paul is saying, you're saved, you're born again. Now, live it out. Go forward. Go forward. And, of course, verse 13, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." You know, as we know God's will, and of course we mentioned before, from the Word of God, oftentimes the Spirit of God will lead us, or maybe the open door. But God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. That's always the test. And as we know his will, and as we begin to step out to do it, he's there to empower us and to help us as we accomplish his purpose. And God wants to use us. But in conclusion, what a message for spiritual leaders, but a message to all, because we all are called to step out and to obey the Lord in whatever gift that you have to serve the Lord. And as we step out to obey, leaders as well as believers, membership, we will see the Pharaoh, the unsaved, will not understand the Lord. And sadly, after the burden increases, the Jews don't, and the believer today will often be discouraged by the lack of faith they have in the Lord. You know, the opposite and misunderstanding. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Let us remember, God's calling is God's enablement, and don't live by our feelings, but the promises of the Word of God, being sure that we are stepping out in his will. As God encouraged Moses by the words, we today have the Word of God, and we need to be filled with his Word as well as the Spirit of God. But let us always remember, God will always keep his Word. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. God is the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful God, as well as Jehovah, who will keep his covenant and his word. We often fail, but his word, he never fails. He'll keep his word. And, of course, I know that you folks that have been around the church for years, you probably heard this story many times, maybe even when you were a child in a Sunday school class, about how God brought them out of here. And how we can trust our Lord. But you know, as we come to a close, we always like to share the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." Friend, the first thing we have to realize is that we're a sinner. We need a Savior. Friend, that's the first thing. We've got a problem. And we can't deal with it. There's none of us can work our way to heaven. But God, in that little verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, if you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've trusted him, you put your faith in him, realizing that nothing I can do. Jesus did it all on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. And that means to really trust him and him alone. As well as you and I as Christians, sometimes we fail him. But you know, as we need to go to him. And we don't lose our salvation if you're truly saved. But in 1 John 2, it speaks of the fact that we are to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. We don't lose our salvation, but we lose that close fellowship. And it's when we confess it that we renew that close fellowship once again. Let's bow our head just for a moment, and then we'll take of the Lord's Supper.